Good morning, everybody. Thursday morning and our first live show on a Thursday with Pumi Mashiko. Look at her. She's resplendent in glory this morning, our Pumi. I hope you're having a good start to your day. Yeah. No, you look good.
So as not to blend in.
No, you look good. We were very worried. I said to Pumi, if she wears green, she will just melt into the background. She will look like she is a disembodied voice.
Head. Yeah,
the head will bob around like.
It'll be a floating head, which could be a look, could be a vibe.
No. No, I don't think we want that.
We could do that. No?
So, Pums, no? How are you doing? What's
That's
news?
A very muted good morning there this morning.
No, it is a good morning. Is I'm it? Having a. I did wake up and almost overslept this morning. I was like, oof. And I think you can see it in my face. I'm like,
No, you can't.
Really?
No.
Jesus. Okay. Well, that's a relief.
No, you can't. That's a lovely fresh face. Although coming to so this new
at,
studio,
she's
this
so
morning,
good at being nice. She's so polite.
Am I? But yeah. Am I
coming to the new studio?
Just coming off the freeway. There are two incredibly bright digital billboards. I hate that shit.
I must just say, I'm so glad you brought this up because it's been on my mind for weeks now because I've driven past them, you know, for a couple of months and I keep thinking, oh, we've got to talk about this on the show. These things are so distracting and dangerous. And there's one up Catherine Street as well in Sandton, if
they
you know.
They actually are dangerous.
It's so bright. Like you think, because you know, if another car is driving towards you with its brights on, it's like, you know, you're like, whoa, that's quite.
And then it drives past. But if you stop at that light and it's red.
Jeez.
And then the whatever's on the screen
bad.
Changes and becomes blue or whatever. Then you think the light's changed and you like get ready to go. Those things are absolutely dangerous. I don't know who we complain to. Who's the manager?
Well, I mean, surely someone in Joburg City. Because, I mean, obviously, you know, it's the media companies and the media
where?
Owners.
Someone where?
No, but I mean in the city.
Somebody in the city.
No?
No.
We don't even know who's in charge of the city. Have we met the mayor yet? I haven't. He's the tick mayor, right?
Lalela, I'm not sure who's the mayor anymore. But
isn't he?
We haven't met the mayor. I'm not allowing you with the tick mayor. I'm not allowing you.
Well.
But I don't know who the mayor is. I don't know who I think to we call complain it, to about that
I think
that
we
thing.
Call him the tick mayor.
As I sip my coffee.
For me, just guys.
I'm sipping my coffee.
All right, well, we've got quite a lot to get to today. Actually, we've got a very fun show for you. We've got Dr. Mark popping in. It's always good to have Dr. Mark. If he isn't talking about like penis problems or breast augmentations or hair transplants or...
And today is the very exciting topic of...
Gut health. There we go. Gut health. So we're going to see where the people are ready to talk about gut health. And all of that will happen a little bit later on with Dr. Mark when he pops in. And we're going to have Musi Maimane as our guest in the Burning Platform today. As our promise to bring you the leaders of all the political parties continues to unravel. We're left now after this. With only
5 weeks to go.
And only four parties that we still have to talk to.
5 weeks to go.
So I know Songhez Ozibi's booked, but guess what? We're still struggle. The struggle
continues.
Is here.
A luta continues.
Continua to get MK, EFF, and ANC into the studio.
So
surprise,
see,
surprise. Maybe they're holding out because they want to be closest to the election.
Did,
who knows?
Did you see that... Ubaba collapsed on Friday.
What happened?
I don't know. I just saw the reports.
Was he too exuberant fainted. Outside a courtroom or something like that?
He fainted.
Really?
He's 81 years old.
Well.
This is what happens when you're wheeling out an 81-year-old
Biden,
and putting them in a big...
How is it that we live in a world where we have such... Terribly old. I mean, 80 is old. Like, I don't think 70 is, right? I think 70 is fine.
70 is not old.
There's a lot you could do.
80 is old.
80. The difference between 70 and 80 is vast.
It's kind of like the difference between a six-month-old and an 18-month-old.
Right.
It's.
I agree.
It's a big
too much of a gap.
It's a big difference.
Yeah,
it's a
and
big difference.
And here we've got these old guys who are in charge of quite important things.
What does that say about the young?
I don't know.
People. Does that mean we're happy to relegate these things to the old people?
I went on a rant.
Let them do it.
I went on a rant on Tuesday morning with Jack Motlanthe about exactly this. I tore into young people. I was like, you know what? You 18 to 21 year olds, you should actually have the vote taken away from you because you're proving you're not responsible with this with registrations and things.
So there's a thing I keep seeing on X.
Yes.
Former Twitter.
Yeah.
With people saying, uti ni mani mkuza, which is this uti ni mani mkuza, right? So it, the closest I can translate it to is, what does he say or what do he, she, they say when you try and stop them, right? So uti ni mani mkuza, as in, what's going on here? Did you people like try and stop this nonsense? Mm-hmm. And what did they say? And the second part is, like when you tell them to sit, do they just stand up on their own and you can't keep them? And I feel like that's how
that's the case with young people?
No, that's the case with all these old people.
Oh.
Like they're just, somebody must say something. We must stop it.
I don't know the answer. What I do know is that there is a huge amount of conversation about advertising, because I see a lot of the big billboards up are political parties, and some of them are enormous. So these guys are pulling out big, big money to do their advertising, right? And it's coming from everywhere. I saw a very interesting line of conversation yesterday on X about like spaza shops contributing to the EFF selection campaign. Did you see that? I don't know whether that's true. I mean, spaza shops' margins are thin.
Who are the owners of spaza shops?
Well, foreign nationals, a lot of those. Tell us your suspicions.
I have absolutely no suspicions, but a friend of mine is working on a TV commercial for one of the big parties. Mm. And yesterday when I was talking to him and he was telling me about the chaos of getting it approved, because as you now know, being in this part of the business, ads are quite a convoluted little thing. But also everything must get signed off by someone.
Yeah.
Try getting that kind of accountability. One person saying, okay, I'm making this decision.
It's not going to happen.
If it fucks out, I'm going to take the fall.
Yeah. You
know, yeah. So he's having a lot of fun working on that. But it's been a very muted campaign season. For a campaign season... Where
you think?
Yeah. It's been very muted. So how many... I know Rise Mzansi launched their TV ad a couple of days ago, but have you seen a TV ad for any other political party?
No, I can't say I have.
Have you heard a radio ad for any other political party?
Nope.
We've seen lots of posters. We've seen lots of billboards. But TV and radio are still the biggest... audiences. They still have the widest audiences in this country.
Yeah, we're TV and...
Even digitally. Have you seen digital billboards? When you go online, do you see... So it's been a very muted...
And unless you follow these people, you wouldn't see it either because people are not retweeting them. I mean, listen, we figured this out last year. Remember, we had this conversation and you were the one who said to me the butt farms, the butt armies.
There's no money.
Yeah.
There's no money.
So you think
that's what it is?
You think they're spending less?
They have not spent the kind of money that they've spent in the past, that we've seen being spent in the past. There's no money.
Did you hear what Shamila Batoy said yesterday? This we've got to talk about. So apparently Shamila Batoy revealed one of the reasons Deputy President Paul Mashatile is currently in the UAE is because he's discussing the Gupta extradition matter directly with the presidency, well.
But are they still in the UAE?
Well.
But are the Guptas still there?
I don't know. Who knows where they are, right? I did find it an interesting story.
Shamila has been AWOL. She herself has been AWOL over the past
Aaron says in the comments, you should pass a mandatory constitutional test of 10 basic questions for you to get the right to vote, regardless of age. Too many ignorant people wasting votes. Okay, so it's going to be about those 10 questions. I don't think that's unreasonable, but how would we administer such a test? Because, you know, we don't even know that people are doing driving license tests. You said you're taking your son for his ID today.
I have an appointment. Actually, up the road here in Alexandra.
Ah.
They've got an appointment booking system at the Home Affairs. And I've done this appointment booking before for my renewing my my passport. And it was relatively painless. He's excited, obviously, because turning 16, getting a...
Very good.
But also, you know what he doesn't know?
Mm-mm.
The pain of Home Affairs.
Oh, well. You're taking him with, right? So he can feel Home Affairs close up.
Although, so here is my moment to absolutely...
I'm sorry, Kanejo, like, you're going to feel this pain.
But you know what?
Cues. Oh my God, you're in for a real treat.
What a nightmare this has been. Because, as you know, I'm divorced. To get his ID and a passport... Both parents have to be there.
Oh, really?
At Home Affairs with him. I know, such bullshit. So, like, trying to organize that, getting everybody's, like, diaries and... fucking nightmare.
All right.
And this in a country, and just, like, this is my last, like, bitch about that. And this in a country where 68% of kids do not live with both parents.
Yes, exactly. It's not a
practical
way of going.
It's a bullshit requirement.
And then they'll say, oh, no, it's because we want to prevent like child trafficking and identity theft and stuff. But
no, actually, it is because, do you remember? Do you remember how we got here? Do you remember how this became a thing?
I know you'll remind me. Go.
There was a little family spat. When Malusi Gigaba was still the Minister of Home Affairs, with him and the mother of his children and her sister and the children. And it didn't even involve going overseas. I think she had taken the kids to the Eastern Cape or something. Here we are.
So because of that,
they
changed the rules.
Yeah.
And they say that... You know, individual
shoved it through.
Individual politicians can't have an effect on you. Yes, they can.
Fuck.
Congo Chris says, did you see Mapisa Ngakula, former minister and former speaker of parliament, who earned $3 million a year, stole from state funds, is asking that the taxpayer pay for her court case? Of course she's going to. All those people in government think that they have a right to what we earn. They want your money. That's why they went into politics. Chris, come on. I hate to be more cynical than you, but I saw this one coming. They want to pay for nothing. They're so used to paying for nothing. These are people who are professional parasites. They suck the blood out of the body that is the taxpayer of South Africa.
I'm a and South African government minister. Of course I want you to pay for my phone
correct.
Case.
There's an assumption that we are here as a cash cow that must just deliver. They will milk you dry. They will feel nothing for you. This is what they do. It's why, for many of them, it is the singular reason that they went into politics.
I did see that, but I also saw, because she's out in the cold, obviously, I did also see that the current minister of, what's her name, Thandi Modisa, is this?
Is she back in defense?
I did see that the minister said no, they're not going to be paying for it.
Oh, really? Thandi Modisa was also one of the people that she went to rally support from.
Because she wanted Thandi to pay for her legal fees.
It's just so transparent. Okay, so here's an interesting thing that I want your comment on, because you got me interested again in the Miyua trial. Remember, we discussed this, so we got to talk about this. This is a big deal.
Okay. Read it for the family. Read it for the friends.
So, lawyer for one of the accused in the Senzo Moyiwa trial, has linked an apparent targeting by suspicious men outside his home to utterances made by Chiko Twala. You did say this.
Dang, dang, dang.
On Monday, Thulani Mgomezulu said he wants to subpoena Twala, the father of Longwe, who was in the house when Manyiwa was killed. Mgomezulu said he wants Orlando Pirates boss Ivan Khoza and the alleged mastermind behind Manyiwa's murder, Kelly Kumalo, to take the witness stand.
Baba.
So this would be a hell of a thing. Can you imagine if Kelly Kumalo and Chico Twala and Ivan Khoza are called into court to testify? Yo!
This, in his cross-examination of one of the investigating officers on Monday, he floated the theory that I've been floating on this show for a very long time, that Longwe is the person that shot Senzo, that he arrived at the house, found everybody there. He was drunk, he was carrying a gun, and shots were fired, and Senzo got hit. He also says Longwe's own foot was hit in that. So I'm just saying, there's a podcast series in this, guys. 5 years down the line.
Oh, no, this is going to be a whole TV series. 18 seasons.
We need an NPR podcast series. Not these, like, Showmax specials that are happening right now. We need a real thing. We need a real kind of... You know how Serial, the first Serial was with Adnan Ali? We need one of those.
Well, apparently the judge said to Mgomezulu they must lay charges. They must lay charges and then things can happen.
So that was his cross. His cross-examination was that none of the people in the house, how was this investigation concluded?
Well,
because
you
the people in the house.
You've been saying this to me for a long time. You got me interested in it again. I was totally like over the Senzo Manyiwa trial because it does feel like it's been going on forever, right? And then you told me your theory. And it's not just your theory. It's a big theory that's going on social media. Right, like Twitter's full of ideas about what might have happened. And sometimes those people, as we've discussed so many times on the show, are closer to the truth.
Guys.
Even than the officers involved who are meant to be investigating this
thing. I am clear that what we need to do here in South Africa is, with all the unemployment that we have, we need a kitty, right? The NPA and the SAPS, they need a Twitter X kitty.
Hmm.
Because the kind of investigations that happen on that platform and the stuff that gets unearthed and the triangulation and listen, these are the people. We could solve crime.
People
with
have been posting,
Twitter detectives, we could solve crime.
People have been posting pictures of like the house where it happened, Kelly Kumalo's mother's house. They've been posting maps of how it could have occurred, where the passages, where the bedrooms are, where people would have been at what time. I mean, it's actually extraordinary. You've got human resources. You talk about AI, right? I mean, AI is still in its infancy.
Guys.
It's growing at a rate of knots. But HI, human intelligence.
South African Twitter detectives could solve.
Anything.
I mean, they were the first ones. That floated the where is the body of Marcus Huerster?
Yes, and now it's
now it's a thing.
It's
now
a real people, thing.
Now it's a thing. So all I'm saying is we could totally solve crime in this country if we just paid some of these Twitter detectives.
All right, so
maybe what we need to do is we need to have like a, you remember how we used to have police file? Some of you are too young. You won't know this.
Police file.
We used to have there used to be a show on SABC called Police File. And they would put up the identikits. So, you know, those like pictures of criminals that they're looking for. And then they'd tell you.
Yeah, be this, this just person hang on. I got to explain what an identikit is. Okay, this is so bad. This is before the days of like cell phone photography and even like probably you weren't allowed to take pictures of people in court. And if someone was a suspect, they used to employ illustrators, like artists who would work for the popo. And these artists would with pen or brush, kid you not, this is absolutely true. They would draw up an identikit. So let's say Pumi's handbag is stolen. And she goes, ah, the guy who stole it was wearing a balaclava. But I could see he had green braids. Eyes. He had green eyes and he had, yeah, whatever. Then this artist now has to imagine, like according to Pumi's very random description, like this is how the person would have looked.
Exactly like it works in the movies. You know how when you watch like old movies and there's like a
unreal
person like drawing, like the eyes were a little bit slanty. They were bigger. They were round. The face was a little bit pear-shaped, all of that. And yeah. then they'd plaster it on TV. That person's picture with the description, uh-huh. and they'd tell you what they like wanted for and where they were last seen, and,
yeah.
and they would give you the number of.
Yeah, you must call this number if you see
of
anything.
The particular police department,
sometimes
or division
even sometimes
that you
even
had
the officer. They'd say you can call Officer Oberholzer at number 012
at the Brixton Murder and Robbery Squadron.
And you can call them at 012-699-3214. And then, like, Inspector Oberholzer would go, hello, Oberholzer. And you'd go, listen, I saw a man who some... I mean, no one ever looked like these identikit things. Like, no one ever looked like that. But people would call, go... hello, officer. I just saw the suspicious man outside my gate. And then they'd send the squad cars, and it was a big thing, right? I mean, that, look, for starters, the police, as rotten as so much of it always has been and always will be, there were some people in that murder and robbery squadron who solved...
Brixton robber.
They solved crime, those people. Crom. They solved crom. Okay, so...
we should have something like that again.
I did a kid.
My point being that we should have something like that again and just put it on X and let X
all
loose
right. You may have
to
you
find
might,
these
you might be onto
people.
Something. You might be onto something.
You know, I have muted your friend
my friend.
Yes, your
Who?
Friend Abramji, Yusuf Abramji.
He's not my friend. He's definitely not my friend. Let's be absolutely clear, all right?
I've muted Yusuf Abramji.
Good.
But I still get every now and again. Because he has all these videos. He puts videos, the people being shot, their cars stolen. It's his videos are gruesome.
That man loves a bit of crime.
But every now and again, there'll be somebody, a screenshot of one of his videos that then makes it onto, bleeds into my timeline.
Yeah.
And a couple of days ago, there was a robbery outside a shopping center in maybe Kenilworth in Cape Town.
Okay.
And the picture that made it onto my timeline had a guy with a black backpack. And I was thinking, why? This is very odd. Why would... So I went to look for the video and I saw the video of what happened. And I was like, there is something in that backpack that those guys were after. And then yesterday in the newspaper, on News 24, they reported that there were 624,000 rand in that black backpack.
Wow. Cash money.
Now, Twitter had already said that there must be money in that backpack.
Cash money.
2 days before.
Twitter can smell money in that backpack. You know the people who are on Twitter, they can smell
I'm just
the
saying
money.
I'm just saying Twitter could solve our crime issues. All this to illustrate that Twitter could solve our crime issues in this country.
Okay, so I want to ask you about this because I don't know why this is so fascinating to you, but I'm always interested in what piques your interest. So you found out about a guy called Tom Gilby who actually drank alcohol. He drank his way through the London Marathon. Now, in my mind, there can be very few things that are as unpleasant as having to do a marathon, either drunk or hungover. I can't imagine anything worse. This guy drank the whole way through the marathon. Is that his thing?
It's not his thing. He's a wine guy. But he was then tasting... At every mile marker, he was tasting a different wine.
Oh, God.
From right. around the world.
Sounds dangerous.
He had his little glass and he had a on his belt. he had his glass, his own glass, so he wasn't drinking out of other people's glasses. And on his TikTok, you see him run up to various people with the bottle, and then he's like, "What have we got here?" And try out the wine, try and guess it.
How long before he was hammered?
Listen, I don't know why this man is not on every news outlet, because he ran the whole marathon. He wasn't completely hammered, but there were around the 26 miles, I think. Around that kind of 2022 mark, he was a little voodoo, as they would say. He was a little voodoo.
So is this something you want to do now?
Listen.
Now that you've seen that. Now that hang on, she's got a whole thing now. So now that she's finally seen that it's okay to do a marathon and have some wine.
I would never do a marathon of 26 miles. I would never.
I don't understand. You know, it's like people who say, "Oh, you know, I like playing golf because I like spending a bit of time with the guys having a drink after the golf." Or those people who go to events because they want to be able to drink. I'm always like, why don't you just
stay home and drink?
Like, why do you need an excuse for this? If
you shouldn't drink on your own. That's a problem.
No, I'm not saying on your own, but you could invite a few people that you like around. You could go to their house. You could meet somewhere at a bar or a pub. But you don't have to do an activity in order to drink. You know, these people who have book clubs. You women do this a lot. Book clubs and Tupperware clubs and God knows what other kind of clubs. Well, you use
They're
this,
all just an excuse to drink.
It's a pretext, right?
But it's, you know.
Come on.
It's nice.
We see through it.
But so I went down a rabbit hole. You know this about me and the rabbit holes. So now I'm down this rabbit hole. I'm reading about this guy. Why the hell would he do this thing? I mean, the athletic ability alone. You've got to give it to him, right? The athletic ability to drink at every mile marker and make it through the marathon. That's like, that on its own is, we should be talking about that. But so now I'm down a rabbit hole about drinking and sports activities and all of that kind of stuff. And I found a farm, a wine farm in France. Now this is a marathon I could get behind.
Yeah.
So this farm in France, and it's called Marathon du Medici or something of that. So, you know, French and their funny names.
Marathon du Medoc.
Yeah, something like that.
Right.
And their entire thing is the wine and cheese. It's on the wine farm. It's on the wine farm, and there's different wines that you try out along the route.
Again.
I was like,
again.
Now this is a marathon that can be. Why is no one talking about this particular marathon more
often?
No,
the real why is, why do we need to make excuses for doing the things that we like? Are you so guilt-riddled?
It's not an excuse. It's just adding to the pleasure. But listen, this guy was actually, he was phenomenal, because what he had to guess the grape, the year of this particular vintage.
This stuff impresses you, huh?
He was fantastic. There were two South African wines which he liked. Both of them he got right and he liked. There were, that I saw, there were two.
How long did you watch this thing?
It's not long. It's, you know, fun.
Yeah, I think you watched it sounds like you watched 8 hours of marathon and drink. It's insane.
No, they've got a compressed, he's got a compressed version on his TikTok.
All right. Well,
he's got a compressed version on his TikTok.
I think the moral of the story is either you've got to make running exciting, because it isn't, by drinking. Or you should just
make
drink.
Drinking exciting by running.
Or just drink. Yeah, I mean, no, you don't need to make drinking exciting by running. People have fun when they drink. And especially in South Africa, this is not something you have to work on. You're like, we need more activities. People need to do more stuff. No, just do what you want to do. So we've got Dr. Mark popping in just now. You know, ask him all about gut health, which is going to be loads of fun, because it's bound to get very, very lavatorial very fast. But I was all over the internet yesterday in between appointments and everything else, and I saw that there are loads of people on Twitter at the moment that are talking about, and you know, sometimes you want to see what's trending. I don't often check what's trending, but I like to occasionally. And I saw a thing yesterday about lock him up. Did you see this?
I did.
Do you know what? Because I tried to figure out what it was and I couldn't make sense of it.
This is the problem with the trends now, right? Because
I don't know what it means.
People try and sell you stuff.
All I wanted to know was lock who up. I was like, who? Who are we going to lock up? I'm in, but who?
In South Africa, people started using it with this Zimbabwean guy, Rutendo Mutairi, or something. I don't know how to say his last name. I'm not going to butcher it.
All right.
But Rutendo got into a heated exchange with Leanne Marnus about Zimbabwe.
Oh.
And about whether Zimbabwe is on the ascent. and so he got into a heated exchange and Leanne said, well, if you feel this way about Zimbabwe and you believe that Zimbabwe is on the ascent, why do you not go home and help rebuild your country? Of course. Oof. And he then said, why don't you go home back to Europe?
Oh.
And that disintegrated completely. It became a huge fight. Kind of the people who are with the Rutendo should go back to Zimbabwe because, you know, this is a problem we have in South Africa.
Oh my God.
Another faction of Leanne should go back to Europe. How dare a white European colonial settler tell a black African?
So people broke down on those lines. And who?
But 2 days later, it surfaces again, Twitter and its detectives. Rutendo's actually a paedophile.
And that was who they wanted to lock up.
So I saw that, like, trending with Rutendo.
Sure.
But I also saw Donald Trump.
Yeah, that's why I was confused.
So this is the problem now with trends, right? Because then people, because these things are trending, these topics are trending, or these words are trending.
Yeah.
They want to get whatever their thought fart is to the top of the list, so they use.
I see.
These hashtags
phrases. I have to explain to everybody. Like, if Pumi wasn't here once a week to help me understand these things, I would never understand any of it. I mean, like, I was in such a state of disarray trying to figure out what lock him up with.
Who are we locking up?
Well, this is it. You're the first person who's explained it to me. I felt like such an idiot yesterday. I'm following this thing and then I'm getting like
Trump. So those
Trump.
Were the two
I'm
prompts.
Getting Trump and then I'm seeing this thing with the Zimbabwean guy. But I didn't put two and two together because I couldn't be bothered to go and do the like hour of research it takes to understand the context. And so I sat there like someone who's completely lost, confused, falling apart. I don't know how to make this make sense. Thank God for this show. I mean, really, like I would never understand half the things that go on X or on TikTok if it wasn't for Pumi. So thank you for that.
There's dance challenges on TikTok.
Yeah, those I'm not interested in and never have been. Mm-hmm. By the way, is TikTok going to give up its ownership? I mean, is the Chinese Communist Party going to give up its ownership of TikTok? Otherwise, it's going to be banned in the US.
Is it going to get banned? Is it going to get banned?
I don't know.
Will it? Will it not? We will see.
I don't know.
Okay, sarah, sarah.
So I saw an interesting comment by somebody, and just before we get to Dr. Mark, I wanted to have your thoughts on this. Peter Diamandis, who's written a number of really good books, said, and I thought this is such a great line. I did. Maybe you disagree. He said, I prefer to be optimistic and wrong than to be pessimistic and right. For some reason, that really resonated with me. Just
think
about it.
I think that's how most humans are.
I'd rather go, you know what? Tomorrow's going to be a great day. And then tomorrow ends up being a shit day. And you go, oh, you see.
Oh, I wish it could have been better. But tomorrow will be better.
Tomorrow's going to be better. I'm like, that's fine. I want to be optimistic. I don't mind if I'm wrong. But I don't want to be pessimistic, even if I'm right.
I think the human condition is one of hope. I think the human condition is one of hope.
You haven't met some of the people I've met because there's some very, very pessimistic people in the world.
My friend, the world is shockingly shit. Not now only. It has been for a very, very long time. And yet, here we all are, striving every day, waking up, going out, drinking and running marathons.
Ha 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 ha. All right. Well, I know that because he's here already, it's worth bringing in Dr. Mark. So I'd like to just introduce him to people who have maybe not seen him before on the show and let you know who he is. Dr. Mark, of course, is from the Tea Clinic, and he's the host of the Tea Health Show. And we talked to him about a whole bunch of things from, you know, like testosterone to hormone replacement therapy to hair loss.
I spoke to him about a genetic predisposition for hair loss in black women.
Aha, uh-huh. You see? We're learning all kinds of things here.
And now, I've since gone and plaited my hair to avoid.
Oh, please, Pumi. So, Dr. Mark, welcome to our
new studio. Guys.
Nice to see you. You're looking very bright and fresh and for the joys
of
autumn.
Apparently I'm not allowed to wear anything
green.
Colorful.
No, you're not allowed to wear anything green. He needs the brief because he's always like his glasses,
but
always match his scrubs, always match his sneakers.
Yeah. No, Dr. Mark really dresses properly for this. I mean, you go and see. If you're lucky enough to get an appointment with him, then, you know, you'll see this with your own eyes.
But you know what? Patience is a virtue.
Well, okay, let's talk about gut health because this is on your agenda for the day.
Patients are a profit.
True. You know, I have racehorses to feed.
All right. So, Dr. Mark, we're going to talk about gut health. Of course, you can find out all the things you want to know from Dr. Mark on his various podcasts, which you'll find at thepodcastparty.co.za. That's podcastparty.co.za. All your former episodes are there, including all your features with us on this show. But tell us quickly, I heard a long time ago, and we've discussed this with, I think it was a dietitian or an endocrinologist or a combination of both of them once before, the importance of the bacteria in your system. They make up some extraordinary amount of the total matter that you are made up of.
Well, if you take it the amount of human cells, you have about 3 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
But you have hundreds of trillions of microbes living in your gut. The combined weight of them weighs as much as your brain, 2 kilograms.
Sure.
But the genetic material of these organisms.
Orgasms. Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah,
sorry.
This is an exciting
I'm
place
on medication this morning.
What medication are you on this morning?
You know, as you can... So the combined genetic material makes up an organ of itself, an endocrine organ. Now, I think what people forget is that your immune system, the seat of the immune system is in the gut. So the gut is responsible for maturation of your immune system. That's where the cells learn what they should attack and what they shouldn't.
Huh.
It has a direct connection to your brain, and it has a direct connection to your skin. So whatever happens in the gut happens in the rest of the body. In the last 20 years, the incidence of obesity has increased more than double amongst adults as well as amongst children. Now, what's changed other than our lifestyle? Gut, we are affecting these organisms with antibiotics, and everyone is being given antibiotics willy-nilly.
And which kills them.
Yes, which absolutely. And it disturbs the biodiversity of a gut. If you just look at one single program from David Attenborough, he says that kill one species, whether it's one of the smallest fungi, and the whole ecosystem starts falling apart. And that's what happens in your gut as well.
All right, so quickly, off the top of my head, someone said to me a while ago, the reason that so many people are getting fat, to your point about obesity, is that the microorganisms in your gut are hungry for sugar and that they program us to eat sugar.
Absolutely.
Is that true?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And GMOs?
True, same.
So in other words, these little creatures are actually programming us in some way.
Again, there's a direct connection through the vagal nerve to the brain. It's called the enteric nervous system. the amount of nerve endings in the gut is just short of that in the brain. So it's often referred to as the second brain. Wow. Now, more so, the microorganisms that live in your gut is responsible for neurotransmitters. 90% of serotonin is formed in the gut.
That's why when you're unhappy or when you have a toddler and they're like acting up, you must give them a snack.
Yeah.
Well, it's a bit of a stretch.
You know what? I believe that gin on the gums works better than a snack.
Okay, but let's just go back to this. To be clear, the gut is everything from what? Your mouth right through to your asshole.
Yeah.
Everything in between. Yeah. Now, it's a long, that's a very long pipe.
Well, 9 meters in total.
Whoa.
So that's just the length. Now, the surface area of it is far more than that. But if you think about what happens just by breathing or tasting something, first line of defense is saliva, and then you have your tonsils. How many of us have had our tonsils removed?
Me.
So, you know what? And then we are going through into the stomach where you have stomach acids, and then you start going into your bowel itself. And that's where the body is exposed to toxins, to pathogens.
And to nutrients, obviously.
Absolutely.
And all the essential vitamins and minerals.
By changing the gut microbiome, you change how you absorb energy. There's this theory that certain of the bacteria in your gut can absorb more energy out of nutrients so that you get an energy excess. And that's then stored as fat. But you know what? We can't just say it's a microbiome. We are changing the microbiome because we're living unhealthy.
But people wouldn't take something that could do huge damage to your brain.
That's a good
one. You know? Is it true that fasting resets those microbes? And while we're on that question from Carla, the essential part of the relationship between us and these things is that they are a part of us. You can't wipe them out.
You cannot live without them. You will die.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, Carlos, I have bad news for you. No, you can't set your microbes by fasting. There's a process called weeding, seeding, and feeding. Weeding is where you take away or suppress the bad stuff. Mm-hmm. Gluten, sugar, dairy, that's how you weed.
Gluten, sugar, dairy.
Yeah.
That's like seeding, no cappuccinos.
Seeding is your, literally like you would seed a field. You need to go and give the gut what it needs. So here we're looking at prebiotics, we're looking at probiotics, we're looking at postbiotics.
Okay.
Prebiotics, something like inulin.
Okay.
Feeds quite well. And then, you know what, you have things like fulvic acid, which comes from the earth itself. Apple cider vinegar.
I've heard
brilliant,
people taking that.
But you have to take the raw. Yeah. Raw, unfiltered apple cider vinegar. Actually, you're looking for the mother. That's something that's good. Postbiotics in the form of butyrates, etc., etc., lactic acids, and then obviously your good probiotics, your acidophilus and your lactobacilli and stuff like that.
But how do you know? So how do you know when and what to weed, feed, and see?
Bloating, pain, diarrhea, fatigue, depression, anxiety. Immune system is directly responsible for, or gut health is responsible for your immune system. If you are chronically ill or sick, start with a gut. It usually comes from there. So, but just to talk about fasting, There's studies that have now been conducted that shows that fasting intermittent fasting, we actually call it time-restricted eating, is associated with a higher incidence of cardiac death.
You're kidding me.
Seriously.
What do you mean by that?
So people who do intermittent fasting have a higher risk
of heart attacks.
Of heart attacks and strokes. When I saw it, I thought to myself, is this true? And you know what? There's been a couple of articles published on Medscape. It's one of the medical platforms where every single article that's published in a journal is on. And you know what? People make fasting very easy for themselves. If you want to fast, you break your fast first thing in the morning and you stop eating in the afternoon. Now, that's far more difficult than saying, okay, I'm busy during the day, I can have my coffee, blah, 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 and at nighttime I eat until I go to sleep. And then, you know, it's 6 or 7 hours of your fast is spending sleeping. But you need so much energy for the brain during sleep that you put your body under a stress condition. So you start elevating cortisol, which is supposed to be low at nighttime.
Just hang on. You're really upending everything I've heard from, the wise people on the internet who've been saying, oh, no, but this intermittent fasting is absolutely a good idea and the best time to do it is precisely the time you just said. Now, you're upending all of that. You're telling me, no, by doing that, you're not only really not fasting the way that you should be, but you're also putting yourself at risk of a heart attack?
So When you starve the body goes into a stress.
Like we can't win. Dr. Mark, help me here. I don't know which way to turn.
No, the body goes into it in stress. And during stress, you start elevating cortisol.
And yeah, we know cortisol's bad.
Cortisol pushes up your blood sugar and it pushes up your blood pressure. It pushes up your heart rate.
Right.
So it's better to eat balanced, small meals throughout the day because you keep the body energized.
So then it brings us to a question that says, if you eat right, then you've fought half the battle.
Half a battle.
But what does eating right mean?
Balanced diet of macronutrients. So when you look at your macronutrients, it's protein, carbohydrates, and fats.
Okay, this is kind of answering Hugh's question, which foods are good or bad for gut health? Obviously, sugar, cheese, bread, milk, etc., not good, but what is good?
Any of your fermented foods. Kimchi, sauerkraut, kefir, fermented yogurt, please get that one right. It's not your run-of-the-mill yogurt that you buy at your retail shops. This is from a health store. So it's whole milk, unpasteurized whole milk with a live culture. So, and you can say, you know that it tastes different. It's almost like something between sour cream and it's completely different to the yogurt that you buy.
All these things you're telling us to eat, they're just going to make you fart the whole day long.
No, actually, it does exactly the opposite. Foods high in zinc, like seafood, legumes, nuts, dark chocolate, as long as it's above 78% chocolate, it's healthy for you. It's a great antioxidant, high in zinc, etc., etc. So chocolate's not all bad, just the right chocolate.
All right. And I've always had this. So what is the story with milk? Overall, good, bad, or very, very bad?
Depends on whether you have lactose intolerance. And if you do, try a lactose-free milk, not your nut milks.
Soy milk.
If you want to see how they make nut milk, it's all vegetable oil that's in there.
No.
Just read the box. So they literally just smash up the nuts, leave it in water, take the water off and combine it with oil.
So Tabo says black people will fart the whole day with that whole milk. Why black people, Tabo? And then Carl says, with my condition, I can only eat sourdough bread. All the others make me shit. I have to buy adult nappies in bulk. Is this just our audience that have these problems?
What is wrong with you people?
Yeah, You know what? I remember a couple of years ago.
It's not even 7 in the morning.
We did a show on the consistency of your poo. Do you remember that one?
I remember.
How could I forget? It still haunts me to this day.
It's actually weird to know that a good quality white bread has a lower glycemic index and more nutritional value than rice. So bread's not all bad for you.
This is so confusing.
The best bread, sourdough.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's what Conger Chris says. Now, what foods should I eat if I want to increase my farting?
These are not serious questions.
That is not a serious question, but this is a serious question. This is a serious question on the issue of what to eat. Because so much of our stuff is genetically modified. And we here in South Africa don't have it's not regulated in terms of labeling the stuff.
Yeah. You know what, there's actually a very easy way of going about it. If you cannot see how it's grown, you can't have it. In other words, if it's processed, you can't have it. If it's processed in a factory and comes in plastic packaging, you should not have it. Anything that has color. As long as it has color, you can eat it. If it's beige, you stay away from it.
But now, then you must look out for those artificial colorants.
Exactly. So think about what's bright and colorful. It's your fruits and your vegetables.
I sat at dinner on Saturday night last weekend with Vinny Lingham, who's from the US. He is now investing in salmon farms where they don't feed the salmon with corn and soy. Because, of course, in the natural environment, they would never eat that stuff.
Exactly.
He has these salmon farms that he's invested in now, and he says it's more expensive. It's hugely expensive if you buy the real stuff. But they feed them, what does he say it is? Kelp or
plankton.
Plankton or something like that. Like the stuff that salmon should be eating.
Yeah.
And he says the stuff that you buy in the shop sometimes, they farm the stuff, mass farms, they feed the fish terrible things. They inject colorant into the meat to make it look pink.
To get it pink.
I suddenly thought, I don't know what salmon I should eat unless it costs so much that I can't afford it.
You know, but the problem with eating healthy in today's society is that it's almost unaffordable.
So food that we people should be growing our own food.
Exactly. You know, even if you just grow lettuce, you don't have to have this plot where you can farm. But
you can do it on the balcony. Lettuce,
grow tomatoes, grow some herbs.
You can grow them in pots on the balcony.
And just put that in because, you know, they have good nutritional value. It's the food that's cheap is processed. They have so many chemicals in. And that's what's bad for us. So our lifestyle has changed. We live more sedentary lifestyles. We work sitting down. We play in front of our computers sitting down.
Yep.
We socialize sitting down. We don't sleep. We are stressed. And our food has changed. So if you want to treat your gut, start with your lifestyle. Get off your ass. Go and walk around the block once a day. You don't have to go and walk for half an hour. Yeah. You can do it for 5 minutes. Rebound for 5 minutes.
See, Gareth,
have sex for 5 minutes. Just get active.
Suddenly that marathon with wine.
Not such a bad idea.
Sleep.
But what about spice? What about spices?
So, well, you know what? A lot of your spices actually have very beneficial properties in them. If we think about curcumin, we think about turmeric, we think about cayenne pepper, we think about garlic, ginger. Ginger is brilliant. Everyone should have ginger with each meal. It's a wonderful digestive, so not bad. The spices that are bad for us are salts.
Okay, but I mean, you can eat healthier. You can look after your gut. But I think that these days, one of the biggest causes of stress, which of course leads to all the other problems, is that people are overanalyzing all of this. I mean, your body tells you what you need.
It used to, but now it's confused.
Set yourself a challenge.
It wants sugar now.
Set yourself a challenge. Do an exclusion diet for 10 days.
What is that?
Cut out any form of refined sugar in your diet for 10 days, just 10 days.
Okay.
And then put it back and see how you feel. Try it with gluten for 10 days. Don't have bread, pasta, sauces, something like that. If you are battling with bloating or abdominal pain, do it for 10 days and go and eat a pizza and feel how you feel. And suddenly you will realize, I cannot eat this, and you will take it away.
You're breaking my heart.
But do take one food group. You don't have to do everything at the same time. Do one food group and find out what it is that triggers you.
Okay. Dr. Mark, but bread, Dr. Mark, bread.
I know, there was that.
We pray for it. We ask for it. It's in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. You're telling me to stop eating bread for 10 days.
You know
days.
What? It's quite interesting. Hell. If you take a look at the quality of flour and the gluten content that you have in Europe versus what you have in South Africa,
yeah,
it's completely different. I battle with my gut. So I know I can't eat bread or pastries in South Africa. If I eat a croissant, I'm in trouble. I can go to France and live on croissants. And you know what? The quality of the gluten there is different. The flour is stronger.
Really?
So your gluten content is less.
The flour is stronger, you say. What about mabele? Because here's something that we eat at our house, whether it's ding, which my son loves, or what's it called in English?
Angas.
Sorghum, mortabella, sorghum.
So, you know what? It's a whole grain, slightly refined. The problem that we have with these things is that we have phytates, which is acids in the soil that sits on these plants. And what they do is they decrease the amount of zinc we absorb. So, you know what? It's not bad in moderation. Most of these things are fortified with zinc, but maybe just give something like a zinc supplement with them if you're going to have a lot of them, because it does stop the absorption of zinc, iron, and copper.
All right, listen, I got to end this, but I mean, I kind of feel a little more confused than I did when we started. And I know you've thrown a lot of spanners in the works here, but I really think we also mustn't, you shouldn't be stressing yourself out about this day in, day out. I mean, I've seen these people who calorie count and they take thousands of multivitamins and they only eat this and they don't eat that and they're fussy as hell. And their lives are a nightmare, Dr. Mark. They constantly
annoy us.
Well, of course, you don't want them. You don't want to invite them to your house because it's a nightmare to feed them.
Yeah.
And they're always thinking about their nutrition. And frankly, it's boring as hell. They're the most dreary people on earth because actually their gut isn't the most interesting thing about them, but they seem to think it is. And I think there's a happy medium between what you're talking about and just paying attention to these things.
Have you ever had problems with your gut?
I don't think so.
Okay. Aww. You know what? It's, you are lucky, and take it from someone that battles with diverticulosis. If I don't eat correctly.
You're cranky as hell.
Yes, because you're constantly in pain. It's not the bloating. It's that constant pain. So I saw there was a question about alternatives for gluten-free and dairy-free and stuff like that. Gluten-free, very easy. Just eat plant-based proteins, fruits, vegetables. You know, but stay away from the stuff that has flour in. So stay away from the breads, because the gluten-free breads are bloody expensive and they taste like nothing. If you
cardboard,
really want to,
cardboard. They
if you
like
really
cardboard.
Want to have a bread, sourdough, because it's made with a live culture, you can take something like a glutarase enzyme that are available at certain health shops that will help you to digest the gluten. Dairy-free stuff, you can do your really hard white cheeses like feta, etc., etc. The Woolies, for instance, I know has a gluten or a lactose-free cheese. It's really not bad. It's not more expensive than the other cheeses.
All right.
Gluten, lactose-free milk. Again, most of the places have lactose-free milk, and it's not more expensive than your other long-life milks.
All right. Well, I'm afraid that's where we've got to call it for this morning. But thank you. Gut health, an important part of what we've been talking to Dr. Mark about, and it seems like we've only scratched the surface. But look after those little micro...
Absolutely.
Micro
you are more
micro that live in,
than human.
Right. All
more
those little
micro
things,
than human.
They make
says.
Up a huge part of your personality. Who knew? But you were mostly made of bacteria. At least some people's personality would indicate that they're made of mostly bacteria.
Amoebae, you mean?
All that stuff. All of it. All right. Thank you, Dr. Mark. Right. We'll be back in just a moment or two. Don't go anywhere. CliffCentral.com and The Real Network, which is obviously what we've turned into. And we've got the burning platform next. The exciting thing about that is we've got another party leader coming to see us. He is the leader of a party that's making quite a lot of noise at the moment. They've also brought in a whole bunch of smaller parties. Did you see this, Pumi?
I did.
It is Musi
Maimane. This was
Maimane.
Yesterday's announcement.
Right. All of that and more on the way. Don't go anywhere.